You are locked in to Locked On Badgers on a Tuesday afternoon / Wednesday, whenever you are listening to this. My name is Asher Lowe, joined by Ben Kenny, as always. We are the team over at BadgersWire.com, the Wisconsin source at USA Today Sports, covering Wisconsin football and Wisconsin basketball on the beat. I'm a former play-by-play broadcaster, I guess current. I'm back to doing softball now for Badger Sports. But most importantly, of course, I am your host right here on the Locked On Badgers podcast, bringing you the insider student perspective filled with stats, special guests, all things Wisconsin Badger sports. Listen and follow for free on Apple, Google, Spotify. Wherever you get your podcasts, you will find Locked On Badgers. Drop a review on Apple. Hit the follow button on Spotify. Make sure you know when we are posting new episodes by following us on Twitter at Locked On Badgers and at AOW_33 at Ben Z Kenny on Twitter. For all the information about guests, all that good stuff. Hopefully some fun guest information coming for you on Twitter later this week. Ben, we got football in front of us to talk about. And then, of course, it is Tuesday. And every Tuesday, we're going to get some basketball in. Today, not men's, but the women's basketball team is what we'll be talking about. A big coaching change that I think will overall really improve this program in the next few years. Let's talk football, though.
Happy Tuesday, man. Let's have a take. And there's nothing more perfect to kind of finish off April with or go into April with than far off recruiting news.
Well, lead us off. Why don't I put you in the driver's seat and just let you go?
Yeah. So this weekend, Wisconsin, we all kind of know how their 2021 class is pretty much going to end up as the best, highest rated class in program history. Paul Chryst and his staff did a tremendous job in the state of Wisconsin, elsewhere, and put together a stellar class. 2022, it hasn't really got off the ground yet. They have quarterback Miles Burkett from the state of Wisconsin committed to the class. Don't have anyone else as of now, but they're starting to send out some 2023 offers. And there were three this weekend that all stick out, two for one reason and one for the other. I'll start with the two. So one of them went to four-star defensive tackle Edric Hill from the state of Missouri. He is the number five player from that state. And one of the other ones went to Ja'Kai Lang, three-star defensive end, number eight player from the state of Missouri. And why this sticks out to me? Paul Chryst. Now, we talked on the Barry Alvarez episode about why the Wisconsin football coach needs to put Wisconsin first in terms of the program, recruiting, everything. Paul Chryst has a grasp on that. He's done a tremendous job in the last 4 or 5 years of really locking down the state's top talent and building around that, and him venturing out into the Missouris or the Floridas or the Californias for recruiting to get more players. This just shows you where this program is in terms of recruiting, and it's a great sign for where they are moving forward.
It certainly is. I feel like I've used the class of 2021 best of all timeline, like the announcers in college basketball have used the Brad Davis in high school quarterback, Wisconsin older than the Chicago Bulls, and then, of course, your favorite Wisconsin football bingo squares, Jake Ferguson, Barry Alvarez's grandson, and some other good ones in there. I'm trying to think of what are some other classic football ones that I'm not thinking of that are on the bingo card?
Well, there's obviously the one about Mertz and how highly touted he was as a recruit. Just about like who Wisconsin
Mertz
is.
Offered before he made a varsity start, possibly qualify on the bingo card?
My favorite one, I think, is the bingo card of the late third quarter when whoever Wisconsin's playing, like a Northwestern, there's just 15 punts in a row. It's like punt, punt, fumble, punt.
I think the Wisconsin always high IQ team. Play smart.
Jim Leonard was a walk-on.
Not going to blow you away, but always a solid program.
Jim Leonard walked onto the team way back when?
Yes, he did. Wisconsin walk-ons. Some Wisconsin walk-on mention has to be mentioned in a Wisconsin football broadcast. That is for sure. Walk on you, 100%. But this 2021 class has set the table, and as the great Saeed Khalif, who does a tremendous job in Wisconsin's football program, leading recruiting and branding the school – and being active on Twitter, talking to recruits, showing off the Wisconsin brand and really creating the brand in the first place. I feel like he's really transformed him and many other people, but he's one of the notable guys, Jensen Gebhardt as well. As he puts it, setting the standard is what Wisconsin did in 2021. And What he meant by that is giving them a platform to jump off of. Not that that is their ceiling, that the 2021 group, in terms of, and obviously we don't know how things play out on the field until they happen, but in terms of star ratings, I hate to break it to you people that don't think stars matter. And sure, there are situations where stars don't matter. And I totally understand. If I was a recruit and I was a 2 or 3 star guy, I would say stars don't matter because it's great motivation, right? It's excellent motivation. I understand why recruits don't think it matters. I understand, oh, I played against this guy and I was better than him in that game and he's a 5 star, I'm a 3 star. When I get that stuff, but overall, just in general, on average, stars do matter. And Wisconsin has finally gotten to a level of getting a ton of 4 star guys in this 21 class, setting the standard, therefore, to show that, yeah, the Badgers are a place that's going to consistently get 4 stars, be in the mix for some 5 stars. Nolan Rucci, obviously, a 5 star that Wisconsin landed, offensive lineman, the number one ranked player in this 2021 class that the Badgers signed. So I think it sets the standard for 5 star guys down the road, and that's what Saeed Khalif is talking about when he says that.
Yeah, you're spot on. And then what that does, going even further, a lot of people will go out there and say that Wisconsin can't win because of how they play football. They could say that they are not going to compete with a Big 12 or an SEC team that throws the ball more or spreads the offense out. But it's really about who's playing in the system than what the system is. So going more down the road, just the whole domino effect, the more momentum they build up on the recruiting trail, the better the player they put in to their system, and we know how well they develop and how well they coach, that's when you're going to see this program find the most success. So, I mean, it's there are two offers to two guys in Missouri. Might not like jump off the page, but it does show me at least where this program is, where they are going to venture into other states, and the brand is there for them to land some of these guys and continue to rise.
You know what's an interesting thing? You mentioned the whole thing about Wisconsin can't A, attract high-level players, and B, win high-level games with the style they play in football.
You get it's that the stupidest take ever.
It is. You get that talk in basketball, too. And I think it – well, I don't think it's completely true at all in basketball either. I think it's a much more legitimate conversation to have on the hardwood than it is on the gridiron because it is ridiculous to talk about Wisconsin football that way. I mean, that just makes absolutely no sense. You can absolutely win college football games with a running back as your most effective offensive weapon, like 100%. Also, Wisconsin, like you said, has never had the quarterback. Like, you think they're just going to play exactly the same way this coming year with a full year for Graham Mertz to get ready, and they're going to play exactly the way they did with Alex Hornibrook? Like, it's not going to be the same exact thing.
I thought we banned his name from the show.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's a that's a minus one for me.
No, you're spot on with that. He's also the
cool. That's a black star.
I actually played his high school in baseball way back when. The conversation for basketball also isn't necessarily about them getting the 5 stars from everywhere in the country. It's about them keeping the 4 stars or the big recruits from the state of Wisconsin home. So it's even that is a completely different conversation. I've just seen that take thrown out there a lot in the last year how the two teams performed. It's ridiculous.
Speaking of performance, the ESPN FPI is out trying to project Wisconsin football's performance for next year. We'll react to what the metrics say about the Badgers and whether we agree, disagree, what we think about those individual win percentages for games. Last year, the metrics, you remember, were really, really high on the Badgers. It was obviously
top four.
Year. A lot of the metrics can't predict happened last year. And I think this year will be less weird. Obviously, we'll still be a little unordinary, but I think that you're going to see a much more consistent football year all around the country, and I hope. I know where it's going to be better than it was last year. I'll put it that way. But before we get to that, today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family-run business with all the car parts you could ever imagine at wholesale prices. So instead of going to the dealer and getting gypped and paying a bunch of money for no reason – for them to do almost nothing and a very simple thing you could do at home and charging you a bunch of money for a new part, whatever it is, go to rockauto.com, find that exact specific part you need, and get it at a wholesale price. Rockauto.com has every make and model you could think of. You go to the website, there's a great search function that you can put in a year, a model, and a make into it, and boom, Rock Auto has that part for you at the best price you're going to find anywhere on the internet. rockauto.com. Make sure in there, how did you hear about us box at checkout? You tell them that Locked On sent you. Rockauto.com, R-O-C-K-A-U-T-O, rockauto, rockauto, rockauto.com. Make sure you check out Locked On today with host Peter Bukowski, who also hosts the Locked On Packers podcast. Peter goes into the biggest sports stories of the day in under 20 minutes, available wherever you get your podcasts, and the perfect way to start your day as a sports fan with hosts helping out, experts from all around the Locked On Podcast Network helping to break down the biggest stories from around every major sports league in the world. Ben, we're talking FPI and ESPN's new ranking system or prediction system, I should say, for next year. Basically what they do is, correct me if I'm wrong, but they list a win percentage for every single game. I think they usually have a percentage to go undefeated on there, and they usually have a percentage to make college football playoff slash win national championship.
Yeah, and they do it based on – they kind of rank every team. If you're a baseball fan, it's kind of like wins above replacement. They pretty much compare every team to an average opponent on a neutral field and give them a point value that they would win by and rank teams like that. I obviously don't know the whole algorithm, but that's pretty much how they do it. Last year, somehow the Badgers were in like the top four, top five for the whole preseason and leading up to the year. But a lot of that had to do with their schedule. I mean, ESPN FPI is always the first ranking that you can look at and start overreacting about next year. Well, so it's one of my favorite.
Why don't you start overreacting and I'll start disagreeing?
Oh, God. All right. So here we go. Wisconsin starts at number 15 in the FPI. They are the number three Big Ten team behind Ohio State at five, which makes a lot of sense. Penn State at number 10, and then they're at 15. And I think they are being criminally undervalued. I don't want to list all the teams that I think they're better than, but this is a team. Now, you always kind of overreact about what happened the season before. We've seen it so many times. This is a team that goes into this season with a full offseason, which they didn't have last year. And I've said it a lot. This program needs it. Graham Mertz needs it. They go in with health, especially at the wide receiver position and all across the offense. They have emerging young stars at key positions, talking to TJ Ballers at outside linebacker. Might not start, but he'll contribute. They still have the two potential All-American inside linebackers. I would argue one of the best, if not the best, tight ends in the country. This whole offseason of playing together and developing, this is going to be a team that sets on the field in week one and is better than a lot of people expect and better than number 15 in the country. I'll tell you that.
So I think that what you said is true about overreacting to the year before, but it really makes no sense analytically how last year you could be top five team in the country high on this Wisconsin team coming in as ESPN FBI was. They had them at number four coming in. And then this year to have them at 15 based on what they lost and what they gained. I mean, that makes absolutely no logical sense at all. Like last year there were huge losses. Jonathan Taylor is a generational loss at running back. We didn't know who was going to step up as the 1A, 1B, the number one guy, the number two guy. We didn't know if there was going to be a three down back. There was huge questions at probably the most important position in Wisconsin's offense outside of the offensive line, the way they've usually set it up.
Do you know who else they lost going after 2019 going to last year?
Quintez Cephas?
The quarterback. Quarterback, well, Jack Cohn.
That I didn't think of that, actually, because I forgot he was supposed to be start. How quickly we forget that he was supposed to start the year last year. Totally true. You lose QB1, RB1, wide receiver 1 going into last year from a team that went to the Big Ten championship game. And, oh, by the way, was up by 10 at halftime.
Yeah, and inside linebacker 1 in Chris Orr. And exactly. Zach Bond. They lost literally.
That's probably as much as you can possibly lose as any team could ever lose in the country that isn't like Alabama or
that's all of their statistical production. Yeah. And then you factor in everything that happened to them, the COVID pause, the fact that you have a freshman quarterback playing who had like 2 weeks to prepare for the season. I think they're being extremely undervalued at 15. But honestly, I like them at 15 because in recent history, when Wisconsin's been in like the top five, top six conversation after the Alex Hornibrook year and after 2019.
Wasn't it really the Alex Hornibrook game didn't like the Orange Bowl get everyone excited? Wasn't it just like one game that we really all went like, oh?
Well, they also went 13-1 because they didn't play anybody.
Yeah, but he wasn't great most of that year.
No.
At all. Like he had one great game and it was in a big game.
Yeah. But the, yeah, I mean, that's
a mention of him in this show and I thought he was banned. I don't know what's happening.
All right, I'm done.
Okay.
I'll be done.
It was my fault at the beginning, but yeah.
But that's kind of the whole stupidity of the preseason ranking system. Now, like, we're obviously going to look at this and kind of analyze it. But going into a season with, like, an AP poll preseason ranking based off a year prior and, like, maybe things that have changed just clouds the judgment of every team throughout the year. Because you have a team like, I don't know, a Clemson will be in the top three, playing a cupcake conference, not get challenged all year, and they might still be a great team. But then they won't ever move down when other teams might be showing more on the field.
True. That's the issue with preseason ranking. Like you said, I mean, it's the issue with having an idea of a team before they play a game and having this preconceived notion in your head, especially an issue when the rankings actually mean everything. Not those rankings, not AP top 25, but the college football playoff rankings literally decide. It's one of the only sports where a ranking, in fact, it is the only sport where a ranking really decides everything. Like college basketball, you can control your own destiny completely. I mean, you can win your conference tournament. But there is no control over anything in this sport, which is something that pisses me off. But that's a rant for another day. We'll get into women's basketball because it is Tuesday. I want to talk some hoops and a lot of changes going on in a program that's really struggled over the last few years for Wisconsin. But there is serious reason for optimism. And I'll tell you why in just a sec.
This episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and the easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. College football's coming up. You have the NBA, you have the NHL, you have the MLB that just got off and running. BetOnline even covers your award shows, your television shows, reality television. They give you real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, the odds. It is the best place to, it is the best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Use promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit.
Also, a quick shout out to one of the coolest shows that I think this network does all year long, the NFL Ultimate Mock Draft Show, April 19th to the 26th. Make sure to listen to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 from the Locked On Podcast Network, featuring analysis from NFL experts Michael Irvin, Jason LaConfora, Michael Lombardi, and our local experts for every single team making trades and making picks to pick this year's draft and next year's new stars on their team. Subscribe to the Ultimate Mock Draft, the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021, presented by Locked On and Odyssey on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's AUDACY, Odyssey. Make sure to log in and check out the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021, available on Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts. Wisconsin has hired their eighth coach in women's basketball history at the school. The Badgers made a move after Jonathan Sippis struggled over the last few seasons, could never really turn this thing around. And I want to say first about Jonathan Sippis, a guy that I've met a bunch through calling a lot of Wisconsin women's basketball games. I called on BTN Plus for most of the last three seasons. I felt like I was sort of the voice of that team, and it was a really fun opportunity to have. And I'm really grateful to this university for letting students do some of that. And I will say this about Jonathan Sippis, despite the lack of wins, he was awesome as a person to engage with, to work with. He was a very demanding, hardworking coach that cared a ton about his players and about that program. He cared a lot about women's basketball in the state of Wisconsin. He reached out a lot to different programs around the area, helped them with some coaching, some clinics, help them by having the Badger women's basketball team meet with them, sign autographs for them. There were always youth teams at the games, I felt like, when I was there, which was a really cool thing to see. So a a really good ambassador for the program and for the state in terms of women's basketball as a whole. Just a guy that simply couldn't get the wins that you need sometimes to hang around as a D1 head coach, despite all the other great things he did. And Wisconsin is turning to Marissa Mosley, their new head coach, to try and get those wins, get this program turned around. Marissa Mosley is a fantastic hire on paper. One of the best hires you can ever think of, really, in this situation. Someone that comes from the greatest program in college basketball history, men's or women's, UConn, women's basketball. Someone that spent a number of seasons under Gino Auriemma at UConn and was part of national championship teams there. She has led Boston University for the last 3 years as a head coach, has turned that program around to a winning program. And I'll give you a quote from her about what she learned at UConn before we get into a little bit more about her staff and what she's going to bring. Quote from Mosley on what she learned as an assistant at UConn. First and foremost, it was the culture. How critical that was, getting the right type of people. We don't do it till we get it right. We do it till we don't get it wrong. End quote. And there's no better person to learn from in this sport than Gino Auriemma, UConn's head coach, national champion, who has trained this new Wisconsin head coach, Marissa Mosley. And here's my favorite quote, and Ben's going to know why, but no, I'm not going to go on a rant about old basketball and analytics. But this is my favorite thing she could have ever said in her introductory press conference, so I have to say it. Here's Marissa Mosley's answer when asked if she will have an analytical approach to the game. This is not a direct quote. I'll paraphrase it. She mentioned how she got an A in statistics at Boston University, but leans on her feel for the game when it comes to coaching. She uses statistics to her advantage, but she doesn't use it a ton for everything. Exactly. Perfect. Couldn't think of a better answer myself. Absolutely perfectly put. It matters, but it does not matter more than the game itself and your feel for the game and being around the game and spending years around this beautiful game. All right, that's enough of that. She's also the 7th black female head coach in Power 5 women's college basketball. And she, like Sippus, I will say, wants to do a lot more than just coach, right? She wants to be an ambassador for the state. She wants to teach a lot of kids around the state more than just basketball, right? Like help be a figure of this sport in this great state with a ton of different programs and a ton of players playing. I am really excited for Marissa Mosley to come in. She brought great energy in the introductory press conference. She is a winner. She comes from the winningest program in college basketball history. She was a player. She is someone that I think can really turn this thing around, can be a great recruiter. I really see her as already someone that can recruit. And the Badgers get to keep, by the way, which happens often. You have a coaching change, people leave. The Badgers are keeping their best player, which is really important. Sydney Hilliard will be coming back for her junior year and then senior year. She gets another year of eligibility. So technically she has 3 more years left, even though she's a rising junior in college. But really excited to see what Marissa Mosley does. It's a total 180 change, I think, from Coach Sippus in a lot of ways, which is not a good or bad thing, but it is what you're really taught to do, what a lot of the history says about hiring a new coach. You want someone that is totally different, for better or for worse. You want someone totally different than what didn't work before. And that is definitely what Marissa Mosley is in many different ways. So I'm excited for a program that has really struggled and a program that I have a huge soft spot for, probably a program I love more in terms of just my relationship to it than any program on this campus.
Yeah, I think you're completely spot on with everything you said. The one thing that sticks out to me, and this is going to completely agree with you, one of the ways that you could see how good a hire is or how good a rising coach is their trajectory. And her trajectory, she was an assistant at Denver. She was an assistant at Minnesota, both of those for 3 years. Then an assistant at UConn for 9 years. Head coach at Boston University, now head coach at Wisconsin. That's what we call a direct upper trajectory of wherever she is, she does a tremendous job and she's rising.
And so that, like, and by the way, speaking of upper, went 15-14 overall her first year at BU, 2018-19. ended last year, obviously a shortened season. They didn't play many games. 12-3 overall, 10-2, first in the Patriot League, moving up from fourth to first in just 2 years.
Yeah, no, that like all of those trends are real, where even if you don't necessarily know how she exactly coaches, you could see her body of work, where she's been, and it's all just an upward trajectory. She's rising. So I'm with you. I love the hire.
I'm really excited to watch this team play next year. There's a lot of optimism surrounding this program. I don't see why they can't be one of the best programs in the Big Ten. It's a very good state. This state is a very good state for girls high school basketball in general. And they've had some great players in this state, like Sydney Hilliard, who was a former Monroe Cheesemaker. Fantastic nickname. But a player that dominated in this state and then came to Wisconsin.
Hey, that's a
Big Ten.
That's a mascot for a high school?
Oh, you better believe it.
Oh, wow.
You better believe it. Do you know how many times that was like talking and joking about the Monroe Cheesemakers as a mascot was basically my older than the Chicago Bulls line that I would use every single time. I overused that thing like nothing else when I was calling Wisconsin women's basketball games. Oh, my goodness.
That's great. I thought there was a Mount Rushmore with, like, I don't know, the Phoenix and, like, name your mythical animal. But the Cheesemakers completely take the cake.
The Cheesemakers is a great nickname. Sydney Hilliard is a fantastic player. She was probably the most exciting athlete on campus to me last year. Maybe in any Dana Retke. Yeah. Sorry, Dana. I totally forgot. Dana Retke, I'd go number one. Sydney Hilliard, I'd go number two. Number three, I might go, I don't know, Jalen Berger when he played?
Leo Chanel.
I'll save this one for a different episode. That's a fun question. We'll do that on a different episode. But Dana Retke and Sydney Hilliard are my 1-2, no doubt about it. Jonathan Davis is probably up there too for me. As always, on Wisconsin, Ben, why are the Badgers Big Ten champions?
Because ESPN FBI has them in the teens. When any Wisconsin program starts the year in the teens, they overperform their ranking. If they start in like the top 5-6.
You know what that's from? That's actually the BKI. That's the Ben Kenny Index that is saying that. That is not
– That's Kenny Palm.
That is straight out of Kenny Palm. That's that. That's how we're going to have the show too. See ya.